Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It is my privilege to be able to present to you each week a man that I believe brings extraordinary intelligence to bear, as well as an ability to collect intelligence of all kinds to acquaint us what is actually happening in this war for the free world and what is being done that is inimical to the security of the United States as it contends with various enemies, foreign and domestic. He is, of course, Bill Gertz, the prize-winning columnist in the Inside the Ring column at the Washington Times and senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon. He also contributes to Asia Times and is the author of a brand new book, I'm very pleased to say, entitled I War, War and Peace in the Information Age. This is the most recent of now seven books, many of them New York Times bestsellers and extraordinary contributions, as is his other writing to our, as I say, situational awareness. Bill Gertz, congratulations, Happy New Year, and thank you for taking a full hour to talk with us about your new book and what you're reporting on these days. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you for the congratulations. The book is doing very well.
Well, it's hot off the presses, I know, so I'm particularly pleased that we've got a chance to talk with you about it at some length. Let's start with what you mean by I war. Define the term and how it bears upon our security interests in the, as you call it, information age.
Yeah, the central thesis of my book, I War, is that warfare in the 21st century will be dominated by information operations. And I divide that into two basic categories. One is cyber and technical, and the other is content and influence. So it's both a combination of cyber attacks and intrusions, as well as influence operations of the kind that is very high in the public debate now over the Russian influence operation regarding the 2016 election. In both areas, the United States is woefully behind in dealing with the threats that it's facing. The nation states and the Islamic State of the terrorist group are really way ahead of us. The Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, and the Iranians are the main focus of the threat. And yet the U.S. is still living in a kind of a postmodern delusional state, which says that there really are no threats, that this is a new world of cooperation and harmony, and it's killing us in the information space. We're getting killed, and I really highlight that through all the chapters of this book. I then go ahead and present a number of major recommendations, and this is what we can talk about through this hour.
Yeah. Let's chunk this out a little bit, Bill Gertz. When you talk about influence operations in particular, it would appear that that's very much part of what is at work at the moment. And you're right. It does seem as though we've entered a kind of delusional notion or operating premise, maybe, that that as long as it's all just sort of information and it's the internet and all of that, that it doesn't matter that people are actually using information techniques and technologies to subvert us. And as you say, perhaps to kill us, not just in a sort of figurative sense, but perhaps quite literally.
Yeah, and that to me is the biggest problem, that we have not understood as a nation, and particularly under the Obama administration, that we're under assault, that were under attack, that were under information attack. And the states that I mentioned are not friendly toward us. They don't want to help us. And they're working for our destruction, literally and figuratively. And again, they figured out that asymmetric warfare is the way to go. That is, that they're unable to challenge us on the kinetic warfare front, or as it relates to Russia and China, even on the nuclear front. Although the deterrent is in dire need of modernization, but they figured out that the use of information warfare is a way to weaken and ultimately defeat the United States.
Bill, you make a distinction between sort of technologies of cyber warfare and the like, influence operations, presumably running the gamut from old-fashioned espionage and subversion of that kind, and all the way through broadcasting. Give us a flavor of how our various adversaries, perhaps starting with Russia, much in the news at the moment, views these things. Are they separate, or are they really all part of a spectrum of capabilities that are, as you say, very important in the form of asymmetric warfare against us?
Yeah, it's all part of that. Yesterday at the Senate Armed Services Committee, they had a hearing with three intelligence leaders, and for the first time that I've seen in public, they talked about the influence side of information warfare. Up until that disclosure, they referred to it as psychological warfare, psychological operations, and this is the first time I've seen that they've recognized that it's not just stealing data or getting in and manipulating data, but that there's a goal behind it. And this is the result of the Russian election hacking. Russia, under Vladimir Putin, has turned into a threatening, revanchist state. And I outline this in IWAR in great detail. And I talk about the ideology behind Putinism, basically. And this is that Putin has said that the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991 was Russia's greatest catastrophe. So he is working through information warfare to reassert Russia as a global power. And the immediate goal is to create a pan-Eurasian sphere of influence dominated by Russia, stretching from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And that means that all the states surrounding Russia, specifically in Eastern Europe, but also in the Pacific, have to kowtow to Russian imperialism, basically. And so this is a real problem. Of course, we saw this manifest in the election. It was clear to me that this was a intelligence operation designed to disrupt and weaken the United States, to raise questions about the legitimacy of Western democracy. Putin is not a fan of democracy. He's an authoritarian. He has not adopted the communist ideology, but he's taken many features of the communist ideology, the most prominent of which is the use of intelligence services to conduct operations of the state. And that's what we saw in this influence operation that the U.S. intelligence community called Grizzly Step. But the remarkable thing was, in a statement released last month it was signed by the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, they noted in the statement that this operation by the Russians was not a new phenomenon, that this has been going on for 10 years. And that really jumped out at me. And I thought, well, didn't the president just take the only action he's taken against a nation state after 10 years of cyber attacks and influence operations? It just shows the bankruptcy of the Obama administration's national security policies, which we are going to really get the full measure of the damage that has been done once Obama leaves office on January 20th.
Indeed. It does seem to me worth mentioning, though, before we take a break, that the thing that prompted President Obama to respond to Russian hacking. Wasn't attacks on our electric grid, wasn't attacks on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It was attacks on the Democratic National Committee and John Podesta. We'll talk more about that with Bill Gertz, author of I War, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.